brought to you by Penguin.
I find it hard to imagine the kind of person who would be even slightly interested in my life story. I never stood toe-to-toe with Saddam or struck a power chord at a stadium gig. I'm a nondescript bloke from a working-class family in West Bromwich who got lucky. I've always been lucky. A friend of mine used to say that if I fell off John Lewis's roof, I'd drop into a new suit. And I know what he meant. On my 30th birthday, a mate's girlfriend asked me what it was like to be 30 and on the scrap heap. 10 years later, I was doing a stand-up gig in front of 5,500 people, had my own chat show, and was at the core of a national phenomenon when me and two other blokes decided that football was coming home. How did all that happen? This leads to a small problem. I've read the odd biography, and I usually give up after about 50 pages, because we're on chapter 4, and he's still at school. I hate all that early life stuff. Who wants to know where his granddad was born and that his earliest memory was of staring at a stained glass window at his auntie's house in Sudbury? By this stage I'm shouting, "Hurry up and get famous, you bastard." But, as Wordsworth said, a child is father to the man, so I feel I need to stick in a bit of relevant stuff from my pre-shaving years, just not in a big lump at the beginning. In fact, I don't see why the story needs to be in any particular order. We're mates now. You'll have to take me as you find me. I also like books with lots of short little sections, bite-sized to suit the busy lifestyle common to so many people in this, the 21st century. Can I just make a brief point about modesty? I really like modesty. I respect it. Modesty in others draws me to them. A lot of people would regard me as a winner, but for the first 30 years of my life, as my mate's girlfriend instinctively recognised, I was a loser. 30 years is a long time. I still think like a loser. I still move like one. I'm okay with that. Losers are often very nice people. Well, compared to winners. Unfortunately, the nature of autobiography means I have to talk about myself at length. I'll have to say, I did this and I said that. Sorry. Worst of all, I'm going to have to quote my own jokes. Now, as much as I love hearing them quoted by others, it is impossible to quote your own gags without sounding like a tosser. What can I do? I'm stuck with it. People ask me why I became a comedian. Well, I've been making jokes for as long as I can remember. Not necessarily good jokes, but jokes nevertheless. I get endless joy from this process. Whether it's on telly, being watched by 10 million viewers, or small talking to a stranger in a lift, my greatest joy is to crack a good gag and get the right response. When I still lived in Birmingham, I dated a stunningly attractive woman. I'd been seeing her for about 3 weeks when I finally asked her where she lived. Turns out she dwelt in what was at the time a very rough block of flats called Bath Court. I said in what I felt was a slightly Wildean tone, "The trouble with Bath Court is that the residents spend a good deal more time in the latter than they do in the former." "Where's the latter?" she asked. I knew then that our love could never flourish. On another occasion, I was wandering around Speaker's Corner with a mate one Sunday morning, and we stopped to listen to a bearded man singing the praises of the Muslim religion. Soon he switched to a pretty aggressive attack on Christianity. During this, a black man in a yellow cagoule arrived on a mountain bike. He dismounted and stayed at the rear of the crowd, leaning on the bike. Then he began heckling the Muslim speaker, correcting biblical misquotations and challenging theological points. The Muslim kept beckoning the heckler forward, but he was clearly quite comfortable where he was. Eventually, the exasperated Muslim stepped down from the stage and walked towards the heckler to continue the debate. "There you are," I said to my mate. "If the mountain bike won't go to Muhammad." If a son of mine had played football for England, I don't think I could have been more proud. My mate actually applauded. This is why I became a comedian. And yes, these two stories show why I love that mate more than I ever could have loved that stunningly attractive woman. I didn't begin my comedy career until I was 30. People have been telling me I should be a comic since I was about 6, but in a way, I already was a comic. I used to perform in the classroom, then in the pub, the factory, and now on telly. It's all the same thing, showing off and endlessly pursuing that holy grail, the laugh. You don't need a microphone or a camera, all you need is an audience.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?